We all know the fight against AIDS is also a fight for improved health systems. When I was in Tanzania last month, in one of the 57 rural clinics we built there, where the instruments are kept sterile and where the lab samples can be preserved because they all have local solar units, I met a couple outside their home who had just had a baby. And the child was, as a matter of course, screened for HIV, and thank goodness was born HIV negative. We don't have to worry about treating that child, but one reason we don't is that the child's mother is part of a healthcare system that can take care of her, and every mother like that in that area that needs the medicine to prevent mother-to-child transmission can get it. So I don't think these two things are in conflict. Now, there is a real choice to be made, but it's not the one we've been told about. For example, if you really want to increase healthcare systems and to increase treatment, we have to have more qualified healthcare workers. Africa has 10% of the world's population, 25% of its health burden, and 3% of its healthcare workers. We need more people in the healthcare workforce. Specifically, we need people who can do good work at lower cost over a wider geographic range than doctors can do alone in poor countries, or than doctors or nurses can do alone. In Zambia, we've worked with the government to add 1,000 healthcare workers in less than 18 months. This didn't take very much new money. What it took was different organization and determined local leadership. We also shouldn't have to choose between treating people in the developing world and the rise of HIV again in countries with higher GDPs. AIDS remains a real challenge in America. Prevalence among black men is 3%, and AIDS is the number three killer of African-American women in their prime. And the economic crisis has also hurt domestic care. The Federal AIDS Drug Assistance Program has also not continued to keep up with demand, and even in the United States, for the first time in years and years, there are 1,600 people on waiting lists in a dozen states. Recently, President Obama announced a new focus on our domestic challenges, and I'm encouraged by that. But I would also like to say that the domestic drug manufacturers in America who provide our medicine have been paid for years now at roughly $10,000 a person a year. And they have recovered an enormous amount of their cost. They could take care of those 1,700 people tomorrow, fairly allocate the burden, and never miss it. And I think that's what they should do. Now, let me say, of course, we should do the things I said, and of course, they will require some more money. But I think there is another false choice that it would be easy for us to avoid. We also have to change the way we do what we do. The world is awash in troubles. It is easy to rail at a government and say, why doesn't the government give us more money when they're giving somebody else money? But the government gets its money in most of these countries from taxpayers who have lower incomes today than they did 2 years ago. So if we're going to make this case, they have to believe that we're doing our job faster, better, and cheaper. And then we have the moral standing to go ask people to give us more money. So I want to offer a few observations on that. And I'd like to start with a few comments about the controversy over PEPFAR.